The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Hunter Biden, thank you for doing this.
Tucker Carlson.
I haven't seen you in 11 years, though I've talked about you.
You know.
In the meantime.
And then I wake up one morning and you're doing Candace Owens.
I love Candace.
I do too. Yeah. I do too. I've taken a lot of abuse for saying that, but I do. Yeah. I know her and I do. I think she's a great
person.
It just happened this morning up at whitehouse.gov. We put the first documents out on an operation, counterintelligence operation called Round River. This is the mirror reverse image of Crossfire Hurricane. So Crossfire Hurricane, they pursued Donald Trump on Democratic fake evidence that he was conspiring with Russia. As soon as that comes to an end, I break the original stories about Hunter Biden in Ukraine. And the FBI and the intelligence committee goes into a reverse operation, which is they're going to now neutralize real evidence from their own informants suggesting that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden have a corruption problem in Ukraine. They go into action and they do that. And what they begin doing is they go into the, there were 14 informants. One of the big headlines of this package that we made public this morning is there were 14 informants in the intelligence community and inside the FBI that were providing derogatory information on Joe Biden during the 2020 election. Some of them had been providing it consistently since 2015. Many of these informants had long trusted relationships with the U.S. government, one going all the way back to 2008. So they're good, long-serving informants. They're long reporting Biden corruption allegations. And as the 2020 election is nearing and the Ukraine impeachment takes on President Trump's efforts to look at this, my stories are getting discredited, even though they were true. The FBI launched a counterintelligence investigation called Round River. It's actually an operation, not an investigation. It's designed to neutralize all this information.
And what do you consider your greatest accomplishment?
The thing I'm probably the most proud of is the tone we set. The fact that we just had a bunch of amazing people working for us, with us, who were there for the right reasons, weren't trying to ask what was in it for them, weren't cutting corners, dedicated themselves every single day to just how do I help the American people, live their lives a little bit more securely and allow them to feel a little bit safer, have more opportunity. I'm very proud of the message we sent to the country that we're representing everybody and we can have big, serious disagreements about issues. And I'm going to still care about you and represent you and try to bring the country together.
The administration has given some indication all week that they are close to yet another deal. This is seventh or eighth time they said a deal was at hand. All of these negotiations, I think there's been eight iterations where they promised to either turn over their nuclear enrichment or tell us where it is, where it can be destroyed, or that they would ensure that the Strait of Hormuz was an international waterway, or that they would cut off their subsidies to Hezbollah, the Houthis, and Hamas, or they wouldn't use their vestigial missile force to hit our allies in the Gulf. And on every occasion, they've either denied that they said that, or they lied and said that we weren't close to an agreement, or they've launched missiles, at, especially the UAE, or they've tried to obstruct traffic. So why are we doing this again and again and now? And
a little something for everyone in today's cold open. You've got the dear leader saying, I was just bringing the country together. Yeah, I'm really happy with the way that things turned out after my two terms. Three, as it turns out. And then, of course, you've got Tucker sitting down with Hunter Biden as they both insinuate that it was Israel, the dirty Jews, there behind the laptop, the infamous laptop leading up to the election in 2020. You know, the story that the regime media blotted out. And now there's Miranda Devine writes in her piece on this interview with Hunter Biden that she was on with Tucker 7 or 8 times. I think she was on 7 nights in a row as Tucker was exposing the story that the regime media was blotting out. And now I guess Tucker comes to see the Biden light, the Joe Obama light. You've got Victor Davis Hanson there talking about the Groundhog Day that plays out over and again with respect to Iran. Now you've got President Trump talking about kind of a relaxed effort. We've talked before about how different this war is than any other war in history. How do you win a war where you're relaxing? And also you've got John Solomon talking about the deep state, saying you had Crossfire Hurricane that was meant to go after Trump, to undermine Trump, to prevent Trump from being an effective president, to try to keep him even from becoming president. And then you've got the other operation. What did he call it? I didn't see the name. He meant Round River. There you go. To cover up the Biden crimes. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Lots and lots to get to, as per usual. And as I said yesterday, lots and lots going on with classes now in full session. All the classes after today will have kicked off, and we're into it. It's going to be a busy and fun and exciting semester. And one thing that I love about the college curriculum, and I love about God's truth, and I love about the AC program, is just how God keeps it. He keeps it for us in a very black and white manner. You see God's way of life, you see the world and its way of life, Satan's way of life. Satan's the god of this world. But with God, there's a simplicity to the truth, a simplicity to God's word. We recorded a program recently about declaring the Father. It's a Life and Teachings podcast. We'll have that posted, not this weekend, but next. And we went through John 1 and verse 18, where it says Jesus came to declare the Father. And yet how many people reject that truth? Even in the world of traditional Christianity, a Father-oriented gospel, God the Father being the central figure of the gospel, Jesus coming to declare the Father, Jesus coming to promote the Father, Jesus coming to lead the disciples or the students of Christ to the Father. Very simple. It's kind of like the way God designed a family. He's the one that ordained and instituted the marriage institution. He's the one that created family. You can read about it in Genesis 1 and 2, the first two chapters of the Bible. And a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. That's pretty straightforward and simple. Two genders, one marriage, one family. And it's all a type of the God family. God's reproducing himself through family. The simplicity there is in that. When you veer off course, when you are cut off from God and his ways, you'll notice, and you see it in the cold open every day, you'll notice how complicated things become. Confusing, difficult to understand. And of course, Satan is the author of disorganization and confusion. He's the author of these things. In America Under Attack, I love these quotes where it's talking about, you know, all of the confusion and the complication and what went on when the deep state was attacking Donald Trump, and how that Satan just barrages us with a message that is not simple and straightforward. It's one where you have to actually dig in to try to figure out what's going on, and most people won't do that, like my father wrote. I said recently just how relevant and applicable America Under Attack is today, more than ever before, even though Jeroboam is back. Even though much of what got my father prophesied in that book has now happened. It's come to pass. Listen to what he says, though. He's talking about Revelation 2 and verse 24, where it speaks of the depths of Satan. It talks about the power, all power of the devil in 2 Thessalonians 2. The devil is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He has awesome power. There are depths to the devil. As it says in Revelation 2, my father says, Satan has the power to conduct great evil and not only hide it, but then accuse others of committing it. He turns the tables on those he's accusing. He's guilty of what he is accusing others of. And yet look at how effective he is in spreading his message, in spreading lies, rumors, deceit, gossip. It says, we saw it with Obama's use of the deep state in general and the Mueller investigation specifically. It's an example of the depths of Satan that Jesus warned about. It says, you can prove the real purpose of the Mueller investigation. Again, this takes us back a few years. This takes us back to President Trump's first term. You can prove what was behind the Mueller investigation, but Satan knows that if he makes it complicated enough to require deep study to understand it, most people won't dig into it, and he can deceive them. He can deceive them. It says, the powerful way Obama works to destroy the nation, he was twice elected to lead, is one of those depths. How did the man ever make it into office when he vows just a few days before coming in to fundamentally transform the United States of America? How does he get through? How does he get enough votes? How does he become president when his pastor is Jeremiah Wright, when his mentor is a communist and a pervert at that? How does this happen? He was a fraud from the beginning, the dear leader. And yet he made it through for 8 years. 8 years. It says earlier in the book, America Under Attack, Cass Sunstein was the head of the Office of Information Regulatory Affairs during Obama's first term, a position with a lot of power. It says in one of his books, Sunstein actually wrote that America would be far better off if it replaced democracy with technocracy, ruled by an elite group of well-educated technocrats. He said, the issues are too complicated for most people to understand. And then one congressman said of Sunstein's view, that belief is spread across the administration. The peons, you don't understand. You don't know what's going on. So leave it to the technocrats to tell you what the truth is. As I was saying in class the other day, when Bibles were rare, people would go to the priests of the great false church and say, well, what does this mean? What are we supposed to believe? And the priests would tell them. And that's the way Satan loves it to be, where he can use individuals to tell you what the truth is so that you can't prove all things for yourself. You just have to accept what some man says about the Bible in this case. Well, then Gutenberg's printing press comes along and Bibles are printed and the common man can get copies and read for himself. And so then Satan targeted or attacked the truth in other ways by getting so many of his preachers to twist and distort the truth of the Bible to say it means this when it actually says this. And that continues, that kind of deception continues to this day. Everybody's got a different interpretation of what your Bible says. And yet, we on this program tell you, we encourage you, we admonish you to read and study the Bible yourself. There's a simplicity to it. If you stick to the original source, to what God inspired, the inspired word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration from God. At the orientation on Monday for the coming school year, I went through this message my father gave back in 1998, and he gave this to teenagers. And he's talking about the depths of Satan and our adversary and fighting against our adversary. It was a sobering message, particularly when you're giving it to young people, teenagers, 13-year-olds. And yet God was, through his servant, he was telling these young people the truth. Satan wants to take you out. You've got a massive target on your back. And so you better be on guard. You better follow instructions. You better adhere to what God says to do. Listen to my father from 1998 at a summer youth camp. This is clip 19.
But listen, young people, Jesus Christ said, the number one problem we're going to be facing is that of spiritual survival. And that's what we're talking about, and we're talking about that with you. And I know that God is working in your lives, and we try to work very hard to give you a vision and get you away from romancing illusions. Because if we don't do that, and if you don't do your part, you're going to be falling off the mountain. It's just that simple. If you don't do what we tell you, you're going to be falling away.
If you don't do what we tell you, you're going to fall away. Now, that doesn't seem like a message that would come from universities or even preachers today, or even parents for that matter. If you don't do what we tell you to do, then you're going to fall away. What is it that Jesus told his disciples? If you love me, if you worship me, then you better do what I tell you to do. We need more of that. We don't have enough of that. That's why there are so many complicated topics, even in going through them in the daily news cycle, because every man does what seems right in his own eyes. And you've got all these different opinions. And so you have a lot of arguing, a lot of bickering. There's no final say. There's no final authority. And yet in 1998, and he would say the same today, if you don't do what we tell you to do, then you're going to fall away. I mentioned at my orientation lecture, this article that Joel Hilliker wrote, I think it was back in 2020, he had watched this documentary about the free solo guy that climbed El Capitan in Yosemite. And, you know, if that guy, it's the first one to do it, 3,200 feet, basically he climbed this sheet of stone, and he did it without any ropes or any security. If he fell, he died. And so he trained and he knew every single move that he would make. There were no surprises on that slab of rock. There were no surprises, no questions. He knew exactly where he needed to go. What he needed, he still could have slipped. He still could have made a mistake. But he trained for that challenge, and he made it. He did it. And as I was telling the students, what if you were training underneath that guy? His name was Alex Honnold, I think his name was. What if he was showing you how to scale that cliff? And he is the only one that's done it. He's the expert. And he's telling you, all right, over at this move, right hand here, at this little divot in the rock, pull up, put your foot over here. If you just look at the standard of morality in the world today, just to make an analogy here, and the way to go forward, to follow in the steps of this or that, people would be like, well, I don't want to go that way. I want to go this way. If you were scaling a cliff with the only individual that's ever done it, I think you'd put your trust in that man's advice, that man's counsel, that man's direction. In the spiritual sense, in the morality sense. That is Jesus Christ. He scaled the mountain perfectly. He risked everything for you and for me. He didn't make one mistake. And he says, now follow me and I'll show you the way up. I'll show you how to scale the mountain. I'll show you how to make it to the mountain peak. You put yourself on that cliff, I think you'd probably listen to Alex, and you'd probably try to follow his instructions, lest you die. My father's subject at that camp in 1998 was climbing a spiritual mountain. Climbing a spiritual mountain, a spiritual cliff. El Capitan. That's what we're engaged in as God's family. And we have an adversary. We have obstacles. It's dangerous. It's war. And we need training. And we need to look to the captain. And the captain of our salvation. And we need to follow instructions. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You've got to keep the commandments. You've got to follow the instructions. You've got to do what I tell you to do. Otherwise, you're going to be falling away. And look at how many people, how many of God's people have fallen away in these last days. Here's one more clip from that 1998 Bible study, clip 20.
See, we're all weak. We're all, I guess, just naturally cowards. And it isn't easy to climb this mountain, but oh, what a peak God is going to put you on if you go all the way with God. Now, if you're slothful, if you don't apply what we tell you, you're never going to get to the top of the mountain. You're not going to make it, I'm telling you. The reason God can use the very elect is because they listen to what he says. They pay attention to what he says. And many, it says, are going to be deceived. And the Christ's number one warning is you'd better be careful or you're not going to survive spiritually. You're not going to climb the spiritual mountain. Do you young people know how Satan is trying to get to you? Do you know what a huge target you are to him? Because he knows what's going on here, and he knows what God is doing, and he hates it. He doesn't like young people to obey God and get ready for the family of God. Oh, how he hates that.
He hates it when young people follow instructions. He hates it when young people follow righteous examples. I'm teaching classes this year about the Apostle Paul. I'm teaching classes about Herbert W. Armstrong, his life, his work. And those examples are there for us to follow. These were righteous individuals. Jesus Christ is the most perfect example there is. He said to follow in his steps, 1 Peter 2, 21. And Satan hates it when we pay attention to God's commands, when we follow God's instructions, when we do what we're trained to do. I read this in that program we taped the other day, verse 48 of Matthew 5, where it says, become you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Just become like your Father. Just honor your Father. Be perfect like God the Father. Follow his lead. His example, his instructions. Follow the instructions of Jesus Christ. Paul said he was worried that the brethren in Corinth were being blinded to the truth, blinded to the simplicity that is in Christ. That's in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. There's a simplicity in Christ. It's straightforward. The instructions are clear and understandable. But mankind has been fighting against it. Mankind has been warring against it. And so you've got all of these different opinions and a lot of complicated subjects. And everybody's got a different take. J. Judges 21:25. Moses said to the Israelites of old, this is Deuteronomy 11 and verse 11, for this commandment which I command you this day, it's not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, well, who should go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Moses said, the word is very near to you in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. God doesn't hide it from us. God doesn't put it in a faraway place so it's difficult to get to. Now, we do have to diligently study. It does take some work. The Apostle Peter said about Paul's letters that they are challenging to understand because it's so deep. It's so meaningful. It's really, it's unlimited as far as the depths are concerned. Oh, the riches and the depths of God's glory. That's in Romans 11. So we have to study. We have to be a good workman in our Bible study. We have to pray with earnestness and zeal. But when you do that, then you can look at this world, you can look at God's purpose and plan, and you can make sense of it all. Look at Hunter Biden's laptop. Here it was, obviously, Hunter takes it to this, this computer repair shop. He drops it off. He wants this and that. He leaves it there. And then it becomes this scandalous affair. But only in the minds of Rudy Giuliani and a few others. The DOJ covered it up. Bill Barr covered it up. And then the regime media, they blotted out the New York Post. The New York Post was out there revealing it. And then 18 months later, quietly, albeit, quietly the regime media comes along and says, yeah, actually it was Hunter. It wasn't Russian disinformation, like John Brennan said. It was actually Hunter's laptop. We got that wrong. But, you know, that's in the past. Let's move on. Then you have Tucker Carlson, who played a significant role in exposing the lie, the fake narrative that the regime media was putting out in 2020. He sits down with Hunter Biden after 11 years. He hadn't seen him in 11 years. And I mean, they have a wonderful little chat together. Hunter's reform. Suddenly, Hunter is a reputable source of information when it comes to news gathering. You can rely on Hunter. You can trust Hunter. That's the takeaway from the interview. They love Candace Owens. They all hate some Jews. Oh, yes. You listen to Tucker and Hunter talk about the laptop, and you come away from it thinking, well, here we go again, the Jews. I guess the Jews are to blame. The Jews, I guess, are to blame for every problem in the world. There's a significant chunk of people that believe that with respect to just about every story. It's embarrassing. It's despicable. It's shameful. What about prosecuting or punishing these deep state actors that would target Trump and cover up the Biden crime family? That should really be a pretty simple and straightforward investigation or story, whatever you want to call it. How hard is it to hold Jim Comey to account, or John Brennan, or the dear leader? How hard is it? How hard could it possibly be if there's a simplicity to the laws of the land? If there's a simplicity to one law that applies to everybody equally, how can a DOJ, a Department of Justice, get away with persecuting Trump and covering up the Biden crime family crimes? Well, it's complicated, people will say. It's just, you know, I can't just give you that in a straight up answer. It's complicated. Yeah, there are all these connections between Biden and, you know, the mayor of Moscow's contribution, his wife giving Hunter $3 million and Hunter traveling to China to see the CCP with his father and all these things happening, even during the Obama years, the wire transfers, all the money going to what, 6 or 8 or 9 Biden crime family members. That's okay. But for Donald Trump to come down that escalator, that is unforgivable. And the full forces of the deep state, they are unleashed to destroy Donald Trump. To destroy him. There was another assassination attempt just recently. We're on number 5 that we know of. It should be simpler than it is, don't you think? When it comes to justice, if justice is blind, shouldn't it be pretty straightforward? Shouldn't there be a simplicity? Listen, that's illegal. You can't do that. You can't just illegally spy. You can't go to a FISA court and lie. You're going to jail. Sorry. A two-tiered standard of justice. It really is. It's something that we see all over the place. Shouldn't the war, just to take another example, on the other side of the aisle, shouldn't the war with Iran be pretty straightforward? Given the crimes against humanity carried out by the mullahs in Iran, given the fact that they're the number one state sponsor of terrorism, given the fact that they've persecuted and targeted ships, not warships, but just these big cargo ships coming through the straits. Shouldn't that be pretty straightforward? This was, I didn't play this yesterday, I don't think. This was President Trump in his interview with Wayne Root, clip 17.
All right, so this gives me a chance to ask a question. You brought up the Iran war. I'm reading today that we've kind of changed our strategy. It's not going to be bomb, bomb, bomb. It's going to be just starve them out at this point with a naval blockade and their Congress is dead.
Yeah, I don't talk about strategy. Why should I talk so? Maybe, but we have three powerful strategies. We could just keep it alone and they're going to fail. We could just keep, you know, doing sort of just like nice and easy, relax. Like I said, I'm sort of negotiating. You see, they're very devious negotiators because they'll agree to something, then they'll go out and tell the press that
they did not.
No, yeah. They're very dishonest people. So we have three strategies. Do what I'm doing now, just bop along and look how bad they're doing because their nations, they've got 300% inflation. They have no value. Their currency has almost no value. They have they're not paying their soldiers. Their soldiers are leaving. So just keep that going because that's not sustainable. Hit them really, really hard, or really the third is just beat them economically, but we're doing that anyway. That's sort of a part of the first step. So economically, they are a mess. They can't borrow money. We control their money, what they had, which is a lot. They had a lot, and we have total control of it. I'm their banker. I am their banker.
That's his interview with Wayne Root. He says, I'm the banker. And he talks about these three brilliant strategies. One of them is to just kind of relax and I guess let them run out of money or starve or whatever. What an unusual war effort this is. And then all the politics that factor in, given that we're coming up to the midterms. It's very complicated. You can say it sounds simple. It's not been simple. Like Victor Davis Hanson said, it's what, the 7th or 8th time that we've been through this, okay, now there's a deal. Now everything's done. They've been totally, how many times can you totally obliterate the enemy? Satan loves to complicate. He loves to complicate these subjects. Most people throw their arms in the air and just like my father said in America Under Attack, well, I don't understand this. I just wish it would go away. this he talks here, and I've made the point here recently, just how often President Trump is asked a pretty straightforward question, and how he takes it and ends up talking about something entirely different, as if he almost doesn't even hear the question. This is moving ahead to number 18 in President Trump's interview with Wayne Root.
What I see is literally a communist color revolution taking over the biggest cities in America. And it's really a merger. This is the big problem. It's a merger between communism and radical Islam. That's the Democrat Socialists of America. They hate Jews. They hate Israel. They hate America. Yep. They hate white people. How can this be happening in the United States? Never in my life have I seen anything like this.
The biggest change I've seen over the last 10, 15 years is what's happened to Israel and Jewish people. The level of you know, they had a very powerful lobby. I would say you go back 20, 25 years ago, they had the most powerful lobby in Washington. Now everyone is, you know, just large numbers of, if you look at the House, it's the Democrats, but you look at the Democrats in the House, look at guys like Schumer, he's become virtually a Palestinian. And you look at what's happened there, it's pretty amazing, actually. I've never seen anything like it.
He's asked about the Muslim communist infiltration, and he very quickly starts talking about the Israel lobby. It's very strange. It's very confusing. What do you do? How do you make sense of it? Jonathan Turley. Report, FBI listed Bill Barr, Michael Pence, and other Republicans as Russian conduits of misinformation. Well, this just goes back to John Solomon, the source of this latest story about this operation that covered up the Biden crimes. Listen to more from John Solomon with, I think it was on Steve Bannon's show, clip two.
They do three things. Perhaps the most concerning of the three is that they go into the files, these analysts, go into the files of these informants who've been reporting this information on Joe Biden, and they mark it as Russian disinformation so it can't be used to bring charges or investigate Hunter Biden or Joe Biden. They literally sanitize the files. The second thing they do is they go out and they start to divide the characters who are out in the public scene. There are people who are investigating Hunter Biden and those who are trying to say it's a conspiracy theory, and they put them into two categories. They treat Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, John Kerry, George Soros, and the Democrats who are named in the Ukraine files as victims of Russian disinformation, as targets of Russian disinformation. And then they take the sitting Attorney General, Bill Barr, the sitting Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, the sitting Chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Chuck Grassley, the sitting Chairman of the Senate Homeland Security Committee, Ron Johnson, and all those people who were investigating the legitimate information on Hunter Biden, by the way, I made the list, and they call them conduits of Russian disinformation. We are basically propagandists. That designation drives a significant amount of activity designed to suffocate or to snuff out any legitimacy to the Hunter Biden has a Ukraine corruption problem, which, by the way, the government's own files made clear. By the time this is going on, in 2020, the FBI has Hunter Biden's laptop. It has several of his partners cooperating. It has 14 confidential human sources. And yet this team goes in and tries to make it all look like it's Russian disinformation to protect Joe Biden and to hurt Donald Trump. It is an extraordinary abuse of the intelligence and law enforcement agencies of our country.
It is extraordinary. And it's not just the regime media. It's the deep state. And then the fact that in all of these clips, you just hear, we need more investigations, or this investigation happened here, and so many investigations and so little accountability. So many investigations and so many gray areas. So many investigations and so little about what's right, what's wrong, and one standard applies to all. You move away from the simplicity of law and order, and this is what you get. And as my father says in AUA, most people, they throw their arms in the air and say, I don't have time to look into this. I've got my phone to look at. I've got Netflix. I've got a lot of other things that I want to watch or listen to. Not this. It's too complicated. It's exactly the way the devil wants for it to be. Skip ahead to number four. This is John Solomon again.
One of the things we're looking at, and there's a very important letter that we released today from FBI Director Kash Patel about this. He acknowledges he's troubled by what these initial files show. He's about to turn over tens of thousands of pages to the task force. And what he announced is that there's an ongoing investigation of the FBI personnel who did this Operation Round River to see if they committed any crimes. That's a very rare for the FBI to investigate its own people for criminality.
The FBI investigating its own people. What will come of this? Another investigation. And just sweeping more crimes under the rug. Listen to this. This is Tucker with Hunter Biden as they talk about the laptop. As I say, Tucker played a pretty significant role in exposing the truth 6 years ago. Not so much this time around. This is clip 10.
I mean, I've certainly talked about you and all the drama that you went through a lot. I have really only one question, one thing that has bothered me for years now.
Yeah.
8 years or whatever, 6 years, whatever it's been. And so I just want to ask you directly about it. So the laptop comes out or doesn't come out. I hear that it's in circulation. I get calls from people in that kind of shadowy way that you're familiar with.
Way before, right?
I can't, you know, I can't remember. Anyway, so much drama has happened, but you know, if you're in the news business or politics, like you know, people call you, there's this thing, you know, you hear everything all the time and like how much is true, you don't know. I heard about the laptop and then I heard, you know, so you don't know if it's real. And then I heard somebody calls me and goes, you're on the laptop. And because you had written a letter of recommendation for college for my son.
Yeah.
Who didn't end up going to the school or even getting in, but whatever. Yeah. It didn't help, it turns out.
Oh, thanks.
But anyway, I knew that it was real because who would know that we knew each other?
Yeah.
Right? No one could fake that. Yeah. And that our wives were friends and all stuff. Yeah. So, but it's Washington, you know everybody there. Yeah. So then I hear this story about how, then the official story comes out about how the laptop was left. You left a couple of laptops in a laptop repair store in Greenville, Delaware, which I'm a town I'm very familiar with. So, and the guy was blind. Then I interviewed the guy who seemed to totally believe the story, John McIsaac. I mean, he seemed to be telling the truth, but the story did not make sense. Meanwhile, we get approached by Israelis connected to Benjamin Netanyahu. Like I know that.
Yeah.
Who are shopping this stuff to me at Fox News.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think that part of the story, the laptop is real. I thought that from day one. But the way that it entered the bloodstream
exactly.
of the American media was not real. So I just want to ask you point blank, did you drop off laptops?
No. And this is the thing that I've said over and over again. I have literally zero recollection or memory of ever dropping off a laptop at John Paul McIsaac's.
So he flat out denies it. And Tucker's there saying, well, I mean, I believe it's Hunter's, but it's the Israelis, the Jews that put it into the bloodstream of the news cycle. It's Bibi Netanyahu. Candace Owens would love this interview. They praise her. You heard it in the cold open. She's wonderful. She hates Jews, but hey, she's wonderful. And now you see these two. Miranda Devine. She writes, the degenerate former first son shapeshifts to suit the proclivities of each interviewer. So he played to Carlson's newfound paranoia about Israel, insinuating Netanyahu or Mossad were involved in hacking, stealing, fabricating his laptop cloud, even though he previously blamed Russia. So imagine, if you're Tucker Carlson, imagine being played by Hunter Biden, of all people. He's out, Hunter's out, it's Russia. Joe Biden said it, I believe it was in a debate. No, yeah, all these intel officers, 51 of them, I think it is, including John Brennan, signed off saying classic earmarks of Russian disinformation. And Hunter went with that story for sure. And now here he is, as Miranda says, because of Tucker's newfound Jew hatred. Here he is, shape-shifting the story, the narrative. Yeah, it was Bibi. Yeah, it was Bibi Netanyahu. How childish is this reasoning? These are smart people, at least Tucker. The chain of custody is rock solid and documented. Hunter's signature is on the repair seat. The repair receipt, sorry. For $85, the FBI geolocated Hunter's cell phone to track him to the Sicker Cigar Lounge in Wilmington, just around the corner from Mac Isaac's store on April 12th, 2019, right before he dropped off the laptops at 6:50 p.m. He was geo-tracked. He was right next door at a cigar shop, and then a few minutes later, the receipt shows up. He signs off on this guy repairing his Mac. This is according to DOJ filings and forensic evidence introduced by prosecutors in Hunter's 2024 federal gun trial in Delaware. Prosecutors used financial transaction history and location logs to corroborate Mac Isaac's timeline. Mac Isaac is legally blind, but he can see up close. He recognized Hunter when he told him his name and smelled booze and cigar smoke on him. Seems like, you know, seems like the story from this Mac guy is spot on. It certainly seems like it aligns with the filth you see on the laptop itself. The lifestyle that Hunter's been promoting for years, for decades. And that the regime media has covered up as if it didn't exist. So many gray areas. What about the illegal firearm? Where are the gun control people when that came out years ago? No hard time for Hunter. Certainly not. Now it's the Jews. You see? See how it works? Whatever seems right at the time. Tucker thinks it's the Jews, and then Hunter plays along. Tucker being played by Hunter Biden. It's inexplicable that Carlson went along with Hunter's deceptions. When he was at Fox News, he was among the most cogent and well-informed prosecutors of the case after this newspaper, speaking of the Post, after this newspaper broke the story on October 14th, 2020, 3 weeks before the election. He invited me on his Fox show, speaking of Tucker, he invited me on his Fox show for 7 of the next 8 nights to present evidence from the laptop that showed Joe Biden had participated in his family's influence peddling scheme during his vice presidency. But as Miranda says, now Tucker has joined the Bidens in casting doubt on the provenance of the laptop. How do you explain this kind of a mind change? Well, it certainly illustrates just how quickly we can make dramatic changes in our beliefs. We can even destroy the foundation of what we stand for if we begin to compromise. If we begin to compromise with the truth, this is what happens. And notice everything. Now, all of a sudden, there's more doubt on the laptop. 6 years into this story, and we can't get anything definitive, or this is the absolute final say. Now we're revisiting it, thanks to Tucker and his large audience. I think it's dwindling some, but still. Lots of gray areas in the world today. That's because there's lots of darkness. That's because men love darkness, like it says in John 3. Listen again to Hunter with Tucker, clip 11.
There is no such thing as a laptop. The laptop that he eventually turns over a year later, 18 months later, to the FBI. The thing that is distributed and disseminated, that John Paul McIsaac claims that he got off of a device, was a hard drive. And that hard drive had a limited amount of information. That goes into the hands... he somehow can't find anybody. You can't throw a stone in Trolley Square without hitting someone that knows me personally.
Right.
And he knows that. He's lived there his whole life. Instead, what he finds through this guy, Applebaum, is Rudy Giuliani's lawyer, Bob Costello. He turns over this hard drive. The hard drive becomes the platform from which all of the other stolen information from, which, by the way, every single forensic expert has made it clear, is that there's no possible way all of the information that was eventually labeled as my laptop came from one laptop. It's like it's way too large.
Came off the cloud.
Exactly. They hacked my cloud. I write about this in this book. One.
There's no such thing as a laptop. And then he gets into all these gray areas. Yeah, I'm the victim. My information was stolen. I'm the one who should get justice. You should go after this Matt guy or Giuliani or his lawyer. 6 years on, how close did America get to fundamentally being transformed for good? That was Obama's vow from the very beginning. There was this article, we had it a few weeks back, actually. I didn't have time to get into it, The Federalist. It says, this is Barack Obama fathered today's Marxist Democrat Party. There have been a lot of stories of late, particularly with these primary elections and so on, and all of these radical Democrats that we're told are taking over, these communist Marxists are taking over the Democrat Party. And the great thing about this article is it says, you know, okay, Mamdani and these people, yeah, they're extremists, they're radicals, no doubt about it. But who fathered the movement? Who's the father of this radical movement, this communist infiltration? That would be the dear leader. That would be Barack Obama. Barack Obama has arguably done more than anyone to create the radicalism that is now pervasive on the left. Obama's sanity in the smile, wave and kiss the babies campaign trail moment doesn't erase a tidal wave of evidence that he, more than anyone else, is the patriarch and pioneer of today's Democrat Party and Zohran Mamdani's rising Islamo-communism. This is what Wayne Root was trying to ask President Trump. And President Trump shifted over to the Israel lobby. That probably made Tucker pretty happy. We can't, you know, my father's made the point in the literature about how that when God assigns blame, he gets very specific and clear. And he calls you out directly. He doesn't say, well, it's kind of bad, but, you know, hey, we're real good. He says, this is the cause of the evil. Here is the father of this Islamo-communist movement. And we should really express our appreciation to God for calling things what they are, for naming names. As I told the students on the positive side, there's a lot to be said for the name that God gives an institution. In the case of our college, Herbert W. Armstrong College, there's a vision and a work in that name. It's awesome. Herbert W. Armstrong, why would God name it that? Well, if you've followed this program for very long, you know why. Well, there's other names in the Bible that are not so good, but that identify the heart of the problem. There's a simplicity in Christ. There's a simplicity to God's truth. In the world, though, there's lots and lots of confusion and complication. Thank God for His truth. Thy word is truth, and God's word sets you free. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today. and we'll see you tomorrow.